Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Shout out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Well, welcome back to Def Conversations, broadcasting from the DefCon Sources compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site located here in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. We've got another interesting show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of hot sauces. It's been an interesting week. I apologize for not having a new show last Tuesday, but last Monday I took two major spills on the ice-covered lands of the Northeast and suffered a rather large concussion. The awesome wife unit, Maggie, had the pleasure of finding me unconscious on the ground. Hey, so we had to postpone the show until tonight while the screaming in my head started to die down. Anyway, I have forgotten how much concussions suck, but needless to say, we're back. Now, the DEF CON crew is taking a short but well-deserved break from doing a few events. For most small companies, Christmas is their kind of their make-or-break season for sales. Well, considering the large following of our wing sauces, we have two major retail seasons, Christmas and Super Bowl Sunday. Every year, we seem to assimilate more football fans into our world of Buffalo-style wings. Life is good, and I'd like to personally thank all of you out there that made our products part of your Super Bowl event. I do apologize for there not being a Super Bowl sale this year. We had some very annoying technical problems at our online store, and we're in the middle of a data migration that took way too long. Now that the migration is complete, we'll be running a very good sale very soon, so check out the site, defconsauces.com, every now and then so you can take advantage of it. Now, quick topic of the evening. We're going to do, because I'm going to put something out there that we've never done before. I'll explain in detail more why we're doing this at a later date. But check this out. We'll be unveiling a brand new, very hot product at the third annual NYC Hot Sauce Expo on April 25th and 26th. What will set this product apart from all the others that I'm looking for someone to design the label? I would prefer an amateur graphics person that is looking for exposure, because there'll be plenty, not including just the label design, but plenty of exposure, because we're also going to be making the design into posters. There is no money to be made, but the exposure will be enormous. Yeah, I could use our regular design people, but I thought this would be kind of a cool thing to do, and one way to celebrate the DEF CON Sauces 10th year in business. Yes, 10 years. Oh. So if you're interested, drop me an email, john@defconsauces.com, and I'll send you kind of an idea of what I'm looking for at the label artwork. This product has been made as of yesterday by our friends at Endorphin Farms, and yes, it hurt a couple of tasters that made it. If you like our newest wing sauce, the Cluck Wing Orange, you're going to love this stuff. The reason we're making it is also a great story, but I shall leave that for a later show. And yes, to answer many of your emails, we are still going ahead with the launch of our first Zero collectible in over 6 years, the Zero Batch 6. We had some rather lengthy delays in getting everything engraved, printed, taped, updated, all that stuff. And all the different components will finally be assembled. I'll give a heads up when we're ready to launch. As I've said before, we're only making 66 of these little beasties, so if you want to score one and you're not on the mailing list, I suggest getting on it. These things are going to go quick. john@defconsauces.com. Okay, all that aside, our guest this evening is Chad Locock from Race City Sauceworks. I've known this guy for a bunch of years, and we've done a ton of shows together. His products are anything but mainstream, and he's always dabbling in the dark food lab, kind of pushing the limits and coming up with something that is sure to spark your curiosity. Chad is also the first guest on the show that has won a SOFI Award, S-O-F-I Award, and not just one, two. The SOFI Award is one of the most, if not the most, prestigious award you can pretty much get in the culinary world, perhaps short of like the James Beard Award or something like that. It's huge. And Chad's products are awesome, and we're going to dive right into them. So welcome to DEF Conversation, Chad. How you doing, man?
Very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Now, I've known you for quite some time, and you've got a lot of stuff going on, so I'd really like to kind of dive right into this. But I do want to tell everybody, we are taking phone calls tonight. If you'd like to call in and talk to Chad or myself, the number is 714-242-5272. So if you'd like to talk to either one of us, give us a buzz, and we'd be happy to have you on. But anyway, Chad, let's get started here right off the bat. And I always ask any of the people that come on the show, this the first question is always the same. What got you into the whole hot sauce industry? I mean, it does take a certain kind of person.
Yeah, it definitely does take a certain kind of person, especially you spend long enough time in this business. You either are bred in that person or you are morphed into it and sucked in. Basically, I started kind of into the whole hot sauce thing as, you know, like a majority of other people. It was just a hobby that I would basically, while working in restaurants, country clubs, I would be, you know, certain events, making, dabbling in sauces and for use for myself or for the events. And, yeah, when kind of push came to shove and it was time to leave the restaurant industry, it seemed like a good time. You know, this is pushing 2008 is when we first really kind of put it all together and decided to go for it and turn the hobby into, you know, a business and basically then fight my urge to constantly create and create and create and create until, you know, you're basically on the corner begging for money because you need to create some more and tapping an arm to find your money vein so you can create some more. And it, but, you know, it's the same reason why I got into cooking. It was basically just pushing the envelope, thinking outside the box, and just that creative aspect, that itch to make something out of something else or out of nothing. And that, you know, it's now turned to basically, it, you know, a great business.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you've done a fantastic thing in the short time I've known you. I mean, now you started back when? It was like, what, mid-2000s?
Yeah, about 2008 is when we actually went in business full-time. And
okay.
Actually, basically, the business actually started. So it was 2008, and basically late 2008, about September, October.
Okay.
And, yeah, basically from there.
Now you're based out of where? Where's the headquarters for you guys?
We are based out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm a transplant myself. I'm originally from everywhere. Basically, originally a California guy, but by the time I turned 21, I had lived in 22 different locations.
Nice.
So, you know, that kept things interesting, but, you know, there's a few places that I keep close to my, you know, I'm a big Chicago sports fan. I'm a big Seattle sports fan because those are the two locations to where, you know, you first realize what sports are, and then you become, you know, a little bit older in another location, and you really start getting into it. And so, you know, I kind of have, you know, my spots, but most of my time I spent in Southern California.
Okay.
And so then, yeah, now I'm stuck in the South.
Okay, stuck in the South. That sounds horrible.
I like it. It's not being stuck. I was just saying stuck. No, it's not. Believe me, it's. I wouldn't. I've you know, lived here longer than anywhere else, and so I mean, I wouldn't have done that if I didn't really, you know, love it down here. So it's.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
I understand. Now, the name itself, Race City Sauce Works. Where did the name come from? Are you like a NASCAR person, or how'd that come about?
Basically, I'm not what you would call it. I mean, you know, I don't make sure I drive around to all the tracks and such like that. I basically took the name just of off the general area. You know, we've got NASCAR is basically, you know, it's you're either work at a bank or you work for NASCAR in Charlotte.
Right.
And so it it's just a main industry around here, and it kind of seemed like, especially at the time we were really kind of starting up, the local thing was just really starting to kind of make a strong push, and it seemed like a good idea.
Okay.
Now that when you develop a website or an email address, it's a long thing to type, but it no, it seemed like a good thing to kind of, you know, get, you know, when you start off any business, you know, starting locally is always the your best bet.
Sure.
And so it seemed like a good anchor to kind of grab some of the things, and it you know, it's served its purpose well as far as grabbing some clientele around the area.
Sure.
Whether or not it's in the stores or private label for businesses and such. And so it worked out well. And so that's kind of where the name came about. We just, you know, this area is kind of, there's a town just north of us that's called, they call themselves Race City because they have a lot of race shops there. But, you know, with the racetrack and the Hall of Fame and everything in Charlotte,
sure.
Just, we kind of took that and moved it around and regionalized it and turned it, and so it kind of took itself from there. The only downfall of it is that we, you know, go anywhere above the Mason-Dixon line and people think we're from Indianapolis because they have the whole race thing there. But it's two different worlds, but we deal with it.
That's cool. That's very cool. Now, I mean, I just want to get into your products, too, because I do not want to run out of time. I want to get through all these because people are going to be amazed at what you actually create. I mean, it's so off the charts, kind of strange, but good. You know, you got a ton of different products. And the ones I have listed here are basically the ones I got off your website. I know there's some more that I probably don't even know about yet. We'll get to those in a minute. But your culinary expectations are constantly evolving. We'll dive right into this thing. The first up that I saw was the Moonshiner's Run. It's he called it an aged pepper sauce. I mean, what kind of sauce is this?
That was actually the sauce that basically kind of started the business. It was our first one. What it basically was is just a sauce that we age after it's produced. Basically, originally we aged it for several months in oak and old. Basically,
okay.
We'd get old bourbon barrels, old whiskey barrels. And we'd age it in there, along with basically kind of what they call it as a whiskey softener. Basically, is what they kind of use to help in the making of bourbon and scotch. It's an ingredient that kind of basically ages the product,
right?
And gives it kind of it's a form of kind of like smoked peat. So it's basically I guess you could basically call it a form of liquid smoke, but not liquid smoke. It's basically liquid smoke or liquid aging aspect for liquor. The liquid smoke people are used to cooking with.
Yeah, they usually use the white oak barrels, and they'll kind of torch them on the inside or whatever to get the bark going, and
yeah.
Put whatever.
So that's kind of what we did. We kind of take some of that. And that basically acts as an aging agent.
Very
cool. That was the first one. You know, the first in the beginning, yeah, no, they were all aged in oak. I think the first one we aged 18 months.
Okay.
And then we actually have some. I've some aged since 2008 when we started.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, we released we poured some out when we did a show up in Jungle Jams a few years ago that we had at the four-year mark. That we had sitting in for even before that, before 2008. And then I've got a couple different sauces that I've got sitting, ones that are on our main line normally, all aged in oak for certain things to come about in the future for little short runs or see how they, you know, it's experimentations just to see how
now
they
when
all
you
work.
Now, when you took it out after 4 years, I mean, was there a distinct different taste to it, or was it when it was aged that long?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely adds to the richness of it.
Cool.
You know, you've got definitely have to have your just like anything. It doesn't add it kind of takes the harshness out of it, I think, because majority if not all of our sauces are going to be vinegar based.
Right.
Majority, you know, cider or red wine. But that kind of aging it in that
oak
kind of takes some of that background harshness out of it. And,
very cool.
So it kind of brings out that, you know, kind of like you get in, you know, your subtle notes that you get in a bourbon or a scotch. You get a little bit of that vanilla. You get a little bit of that sweetness because after it sits there and condenses and draws the sweetness out of the wood.
Absolutely.
Just like any liquid, it will incorporate it into it after, you know, you do your churning and everything else that you do to it. So it's
sure. Now, I mean, now on the Moonshiner's Run, I mean, this isn't like one of these crazy ones. What's the heat level on this? It's kind of like a table sauce. Everybody can use it or
it's. Basically, it's a table sauce. You know, it's basically my wife's egg sauce. It's you know, she uses it every morning. It basically is a smoked habanero.
Okay.
Is the main base with a couple others, a few other chilies in there, but all milder from there on.
Okay.
Smoked habanero is going to be the main base.
Very cool. I mean,
so,
yeah, the habaneros you can easily go way too far with habaneros.
Yeah, and it's and especially when it's smoked, it's, you know, like I said, when you smoke a meat, it's going to get a little bit of sweetness, and so that it's not as harsh as a straightforward habanero sauce.
Right. No, totally understand. Totally understand. No, that just sounds good. I mean, I'm thinking. I was thinking eggs myself, but I put out some eggs on my.
Yeah, eggs morning. and eggs and like a brisket marinade or a pork marinade before you throw it on the smoker. It just works quite well.
That's cool. And then the next episode, there's the moonshine and blackberry barbecue sauce. And this sounds a little on the different side with the blackberry in it. I mean, what's the deal with this one?
The moonshine and black cherry. It's basically one that has really taken off. It's being from North Carolina. The one thing I didn't want to produce was a barbecue sauce, because you throw a rock around here and you hit somebody with a barbecue sauce recipe, whether or not it's going to be more vinegar-based or all vinegar or sweet or mustard. It's just, there is so much. I mean, this is, you know, barbecue nirvana basically down here. And so it's one thing I didn't want to do. And so after being pestered and asked, we finally did one, but then I had to be just like anything else. I had to do it differently.
Right.
So basically it's, you know, taking, you know, fresh black cherries and soaking them in a little bit of local moonshine and reducing that down. You know, we throw in some caramelized onions, some roasted black peppercorns, and just keep it real simple, really, you know, not too much other sweetness to it.
Right.
We basically just use the cherries as the main sweetener, and it has just basically, we did it before the moonshine kick really, you know, fad really kind of, I guess it's not necessarily a fad, it's always been around, but it's been
before
it really hit the mainstream, the moonshine really hit the mainstream last couple of years.
Right.
It kind of helped really with that sales, and so now it's going into Bed Bath & Beyond.
Cool.
You know, and a few other retailers, the really larger retailers have been picking up just because they know it's a self-marketing, you know, sauce because of the word moonshine on it. The bottle we have it in is a moonshine jug. And so it's, you know, two things right off the bat, that it's instant, you know, hands on the bottle into the basket.
Yeah, it's kind of marketing 101, as I like to say.
Basically, it's a no-brainer. And as soon as they basically see it, it's basically done. You know, it's sold. And so it's been a real big, you know, it was 2010's North Carolina's Best Barbecue. You know, and for a California boy, that was a big coup in my mind, to beat a lot of the local guys, as far as having won that. And so it was always, it was a nice one.
That's cool.
It's been a great product for us, and it's for something that you didn't want to do that's taken off like that. It's always a positive thing.
Oh, absolutely. Now, next up, you have the Rooster Tail Chili Honey Mustard. What's the heat level on this one? Because now you're starting to mention the chilies in it.
Oh, we have the Rooster Tail, which is our jalapeno version. It's a jalapeno tequila mustard.
Okay.
And then we have our regular smoked chili honey mustard, which is the more popular of the two, just because it's a little bit more heat to it. It's more of your traditional style.
Right.
I would say neither of them really traditional, but it's just a warmer one. It's smoked habaneros, a ton of horseradish, fresh ground mustard, and that's won us the World Mustard Championships in 2012.
Wow. Hey.
For the chili mustards, chili infused mustards, and it's been, you know, a very popular product for us. It's just great. Kind of designed it to be not just not your typical honey mustard. There's just a faint tip of honey to it.
Right.
We use some nice local honey with it. But you get that nice, very layered effect to it. You get the habanero, you get the mustard heat itself, then you have the horseradish. And they all kind of hit you at different times. Some will get your mouth, some get your tongue. Horseradish will then hit your sinuses. But then I also designed it, I wanted it more for actual cooking. So, I mean, it's a great, it forms a beautiful crust on a pork loin. You know, I've used it to make remoulade sauces as a base for those, for, you know, for crab cakes and smoke. It's great with smoked shrimp. And basically, you know, it's, you know, like anything else, like, you know, it's all basically kind of designed for use with, you know, as a cooking product.
Sure.
It's a great, great, great mustard. It's done very well for us.
Very cool, very cool. And then next one we had up there was the Carolina Cayenne Pepper Sauce. This one sounds like another go-to table sauce. I mean, what's this one all about?
Yeah, it's basically kind of my version of your classic Southern Louisiana style sauce. I didn't want anything, you know. That was later that we kind of started producing that one, because we had the. A lot of them were majority of our first ones were all habanero based, and so we kind of needed felt like we needed something that was going to be more of your traditional, like you said, everyday kind of table sauce. But I definitely wanted to keep, unlike, you know, most Southern style sauce, there's Louisiana style sauce, I basically took all the salt out of it.
Right.
I basically wanted it to be just that fresh cayenne chili and roasted garlic and black pepper basically really stand out. So I'm a big fan of roasted black peppercorns. I like the flavor of them. I think the perfume adds to things because it's not just a taste on your tongue. You can actually almost smell taste it. You know,
right,
that aromatic flavor.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you ever tried this. The piperine, the hot inside of a pepper. I play around with that every now and then. And have you ever tried actually like adding like a liquid smoke to straight piperine?
I have not.
Give it a shot. I'd like to see what you come up with. Just a little help. I play with that stuff all the time. I'm a big black pepper fan. I use it on everything.
Yeah, part of me at one point in time was like, how can I had thought about at one point in time how to develop a black pepper-based hot sauce, and it just hasn't really come to me. But I've played with a few things, and it's just because that would be just a unique flavor profile.
It would.
But it's a tough one to nail down to have that dominant of a flavor.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's so many different kinds of peppercorns too. I mean, you get the ones from like the Asia area and like that. I mean, you could probably come up with something pretty cool.
Yeah, you get the Szechuan peppercorns, you get the pink ones. Yeah, you can get a nice little melange of all of them together and kind of create something that doesn't have because the white peppercorn has a nice fire to it as well without being as harsh.
And it's a different kind of a hot too. The piper inside of a peppercorn has nothing to do with capsaicin. But people may think there's capsaicin in peppercorns. There's not. There's none. And just,
no, it's a berry.
That,
I mean, it's a fruit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a berry that comes off a plant that's just dried and it gets there. And the white peppercorn just has almost it to me. A white peppercorn is almost like a version of mustard or a horseradish.
Yep. It gets in your face when you're eating it.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Because it powders up real, real, real fine.
Yep, yep. Now we're gonna go on to a little bit of we're bringing the heat. We have the 98 octane Ghost Pepper Reserve. Now, when I see Ghost Pepper and I see 98 octane, I see a reserve. I mean, that just kind of lends itself. Is this a chili head sauce, or would people be able to actually palate this?
People actually, we're both. I mean, it has a great following of chili heads. It's an everyday table sauce for chili heads.
Okay.
But it is also one of our biggest sellers in the grocery stores.
Really?
The grocery store chains.
Nice.
Because it is ghost chili based with a few others, you know, a little red Savina, a little chocolate habanero, but the primary pepper in it. It's basically our Carolina cayenne on crack, in a sense. It's that same kind of base of the, you know, light vinegar, you know, the slight vinegar base with just basically the fresh chilies, the garlic, you know, roasted garlic and black pepper, and it with a little bit more of a chili base and flavor and heat, using the jalokias, and it has been basically our biggest award winner. It's one of our biggest sellers constantly.
It's
been a great. It's just been a great product for us. It was kind of, you know, once again, we released it right at the tip of back when it was, when the Savina was still the hottest chili.
That's like the Red Savina has been like forgotten about. It's so wild. I mean, it was top of the charts for so long.
I mean, and it's a good chili because it's got great. It's one of the super hots that actually has great flavor to it.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody talks about it anymore. That's just amazing to me.
No, it's now turned into the redhead stepchild because you don't hear about it anymore. It's all, yeah, no, that's an argument for a whole different day. But yeah, as far as all that goes,
why do I know? I think I know where you're going to go with that. So let's go on to the next one. Okay, then we get an interesting one. Now, sriracha's kind of hit the mainstream like a freaking bomb. I mean, nobody even knew about it 10 years ago. Now everybody and their brothers got this stuff. Now, you got a 7-pepper sriracha sauce, which tends to makes me think it's like a sriracha on crack, like you said before. Is that what this is all about? I mean, it brings that volume of depth of heat with the sriracha as well.
It does, and it's that one has now basically kind of, it's pushing the point of overtaking 98, if not has overtaken 98 as our biggest seller.
Right.
And it's gaining ground on the awards and everything. You know, won extra hot categories, and from the Mimi's to the Golden Chili's. You know, this year it won, you know, best in show, at the best of the best at the Golden Chili Awards.
Right.
And so it's, basically a sriracha minus a lot of the, you know, it's closer to what a traditional sriracha is, not necessarily
okay.
what everyone is used to. It's, you know, more of the traditional Thai style flavors. It's not just the chili, the sugar, the garlic, and, you know, and vinegar. It's
right.
We threw in some other Thai spices, some lemongrass, some Thai basil, some kaffir lime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used a few other ingredients along with the, you know, seven different chilies of varying heat levels from very mild to extremely hot. And
right.
it has basically become, as some people say, yes, I do play with my labels a lot, but the new one has really kind of popped and has taken things that one again. It's, you know, big box stores have picked up on it. And so along with, you know, we kind of released it right before, once again, we kind of got lucky as far as the release of it. And, you know, we all knew what sriracha was. A lot of us who've been in this industry or in food industry, period, knew
right.
what, you know, Haifeng has been for years.
Yep.
Because that's basically what it used to be. Basically, you only really saw it in food service or in restaurants.
That was it, yep.
For the longest time. And then, you know, it's, you know, we got lucky and kind of, because I was
always
a fan of
impeccable.
The flavor of it. Yeah, it turned out great for us because, you know, we released a couple years ago, and it slowly, and it, you know, as it gained kind of footing, and as sriracha became more of a, now you see it on everything. You know, I'm surprised next week we're not going to have sriracha Honey Nut Cheerios, which I would buy.
What I think put it over the edge was that when they got sued or whatever because the place stunk making the stuff. I think that put them on the map,
yeah,
and now everybody knew
just,
what they were.
That, and that helped, I swear to God, sales jumped like crazy because that brought
yep.
that word into the main, you know, really pushed it into the mainstream a lot further because it was in the news for a very long time because
yeah,
of that.
You know, I started wondering if Haifeng actually went there and then we paid them to keep playing that we really stink. We really, our factory really smells bad. Here, keep playing that because now we're selling more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because they ran out several times. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I remember going to some of the, you know, the little stores around here, and it's like, yeah, no, we're sold out because they couldn't keep it in stock.
That's
it. It was basically the best, you know, just like I said, you know, any kind of advertising, great advertising, you know, it's
yep.
If it's free, take it. And they
well,
did,
now,
and they
now,
helped
now,
everybody
I
wanna, out with it. And,
well, I do want to switch it up a little bit because we're pressing for time here. Now, not only is there Race City Sauceworks line of products, you also have a couple other lines as well, which are completely different than your sauces. That would be the Snake
yep.
Oil Distillery, a line of agave-based
yep.
simple syrups, and the OMG
yep.
Willikers, a line of chocolate and spice drink mixers. Like I said,
yep.
it's completely different. Now, first off, for those that may not know what it is, could you explain what a simple syrup is to the masses? Many know, some might not. Just so you'd be the best to explain it because you make the stuff.
A simple syrup, basically, when it come down to it, it's a mix of water and sugar, heated up and reduced down to a syrup. And that's as simple as it is, and hence why the name simple syrup.
There it is.
You know, used for, you know, majority of, you know, you find a majority of your baking recipes is from, you know, macerating berries to, you know, decorating cakes. There's a use of a simple
sure.
syrup. And we've taken it, pushed
to
it
another
off the
level.
Cliff of the box and brought it into the chili head kind of world. And
you've got a bunch of them. It's not
it.
Like you've got one. I mean, you go through it. I mean, which ones you got? I can list them off here.
We started off with five, and then we've got a sixth in development, basically the sixth because I like even numbers. and the sixth is going to be more like a spiced margarita style or more of a classic
okay.
kind of drink mixer. The first mm-hmm. five, we have swamp water, which is cucumber, honeydew, and a light hint of basil.
Yep.
And so we kind of went with this whole, I like the whole apothecary kind of look and feel.
Sure.
The whole snake, just to go back to it, this whole snake oil thing kind of came about in my future. I want to open a distillery and make
okay.
a chili head style distillery. I want it to be you know, truly, truly infused, you know, liquors, not the, you know, early times cinnamon stuff or, you know, the
sure.
kind of the faux chili head stuff. It's, you have your apple pie moonshine, I want habanero moonshine with habaneros floating in it, that kind of stuff.
Now, are you looking
so
for investors?
kind of the foray into that, and the distillery will be called Snake Oil.
Cool.
And so this is basically kind of the cocktail aspect of it all.
Right.
And so, yeah, the first one's swamp water. It's cucumber, honeydew, and a little bit of basil. It's got a nice little green hue to it.
Yep.
Great little flavor to it. Cucumbers have that little freshness. You get a little sweetness of the honeydew. Then
sure.
you get that nice little background perfume of the basil. It's a great one. Another one we called Love Potion. That one is pomegranate, rhubarb, and vanilla bean. Very sweet, nice and tart. It's basically your sweet tart is rhubarb when you roast it. It's sweet and it's tart at the same time. Pomegranates are the same as well. Then you
yep.
have that nice little, once again, you get that aromatic flavor of the vanilla bean. It's love in a bottle. It's some good stuff, and it makes a great cocktail. And it also makes a great salad dressing. You prime that with a little bit of you know, white balsamic vinegar and some fresh herbs and some extra virgin olive oil. Nice little light salad dressing with some fresh berries, goat cheese. Use it this weekend. You're guaranteed.
Very cool. I never thought about putting vanilla on a salad. That would never even enter my mind, but that actually sounds good.
We've actually have another product that we have, a pomegranate vanilla salad dressing. That's non-spicy, one of our non-spicy
okay.
lines, and it goes stupid. Chicks love it, it goes great on salmon as well.
There you go.
But then we have Gold Digger, which is the first one released. It is ginger and peach, habanero based as far as the chilies. Like I said, all these are chili based.
Yep.
Swamp water jalapeno. This one is the first one released. It's ginger and white peach, and it has 24 karat gold flakes floating in it. So it kind of Amy at Iburn kind of helped me out with the name on that one. That's kind of where it all started.
That's
and
funny. That's funny.
Spewed from there as far as some of the names and styles. But Gold Digger,
yeah.
I'll give that one to her.
Okay.
And then
you
yeah,
have
we have two
other
ones.
The Truth Serum.
Yeah, we got the Truth Serum. That one is another great little flavor. It's a watermelon base on that one with a little bit of mint as well, a little bit of jalapeno base. And then we have the Friar's Formula,
mm-hmm.
which is Cascade hops and blood orange. So you're going to get that nice kind of background bitterness and sweetness of hops, which
sure.
if they made car air fresheners like hops, I would be all about it. And you get that nice
well,
blood orange citrus in the background. And it, you know, it's a nice, great little flavor. Kind of adds, you know, hops you can put in anything just about.
Well, you know what?
We
you know what's interesting
our...
about hops? I've noticed, like, very, very recently, I've noticed a couple of people starting to play around with hops. And I'd never seen it before, even thought about being used on, like, a hot sauce or something like that. But it seems like a couple of people are kind of delving into the dark unknown with those. And it just sounds good.
It actually works. We actually released one a couple years ago that we just kind of did one of our seasonal ones. We did a Verde-style sauce using Cascade hops, and
mm-hmm.
it's a process. It takes, we steeped it like you would a beer. I mean, it's a couple-week process to really draw out, to beat through the acids
right.
of the, you know, of the base and of the chilies themselves using that hop. But it can be done, and it's a very subtle flavor because you got to be careful with it, just like any other, like when you make beer.
Sure.
Too much hops and it turns into soap. You know, you might
yeah.
as well be drinking, you know, a bottle of boilable A.
Oh, nice.
And so, but, you know, it's a great, it adds just, you know, you got to be able to use it right and play with it. And it's a delicate ingredient that has, yeah, can be used at any level.
Very cool.
Our margarita mix is going to be a Tijuana tonic is what we're,
okay.
Tijuana tonic. It's going to be our last one. And that is going to be cactus flower or a prickly pear, if you will. With a hint of blood orange and ghost chili based as far as the heat level.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. This is more like a tequila, like what they call a prairie fire.
Yeah, basically it's but I didn't want it to be used just with tequila, so we kind of, you know, went lighter on the lime to where it can be used with, you know, I've done it with bourbon, you know, I've done it with rum, so it can be just a true drink mix, even though it's going to be kind of marketed more towards the margarita, since that's a larger, market. You know, it's
sure,
where,
I'll
I mean,
buy,
the majority
absolutely.
Of your people are going to use it for. So it, but yeah, that's that line. It's going off well. We've already got a lot of interest in it, even after a short period of time.
Very cool.
And so yeah, and you'll see it very soon all over the place.
Very cool. That's very cool. Now, now we bring up the last of your lines, the OMG Willikers line of, well, what would you call them? I guess drink mixers, but you can use them for anything, I'd imagine. And when I
read,
when
you,
I started
you can
reading,
use them for anything. Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought. And when I read the ingredients, I instantly wanted to try these little puppies out. Now, this, I mean, you got what, Valentine's Day right around the corner. But, I mean, go through those. I mean, these just sound good. I mean, God, they sound so useful. You can throw them into a drink to make that. But you can throw it into the cake mix. You can throw it into brownies. That's what it sounds like you could do with them.
Yeah, they're basically pretty prolific as far as their uses. I mean, we first did it. I'm trying to remember. It was the North Market Show a few years ago where we first kind of just brought them. As when we were going through the trials of it, we brought them to what they have, the Fiery Asian Dinner there, where
right.
we all go out and have just insanely hot Chinese food. And I kind of did it as, you know, my gift to everybody, all the tables, put a couple bottles. Designed it more in the beginning kind of like a drinking chocolate, like your old classic Mayan-style
sure.
chili-infused drinking chocolate, but spicier, and a little ghost chili in there.
Right.
And then it kind of, you know, we originally had it marked as the 13th moon, that was when we were in the middle of our apocalypse line where we had Danse Macabre, we had Pandora, we had several having to do with
those. Yeah, that was a while ago. Yep, yep.
And so 13th Moon was basically kind of a tribute, the name of it was a tribute to the Mayan calendar in the 13th cycle.
Right.
And so that's where kind of that name went. And then we changed it again to something a little bit, since the product was just in demand after that. Okay, it's like, well, we can't just kind of go with this whole apocalypse thing after that. So then we changed
it. Yeah, it never
it
happened. Oh, man, we got to change
the name. I'm having a hard time remembering. And then, you know, it was the unfortunate failed ZestFest Midwest where we were selling it under the new name.
Oh, I was there. Yeah, I was there for that
oh,
one.
But everybody kept saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, whenever they try it. And then so it's like, okay, well, how do you market this to the masses and use the, you know, use the OMG thing, which, you know, is basically, you know, Webster's Dictionary now kind of terminology.
Yeah.
And so how do you play off this verbiage that's on everybody's tongue? And then so going with my like of that old school apothecary style, I'm like, okay,
sure.
I've always liked the look of the old medicinal thing. And it's like, do you call it something, you know, I couldn't figure out how to throw in that whole OMG aspect to it. And that's when I figured out to spell it.
Right.
And so that's how we came up with the OM and then put the G Willikers, almost like you would like an old school doctor. And then,
sure.
So that's how we kind of came up with the name of it. So we originally had the dark chocolate and toasted marshmallow, and then the white chocolate and salted caramel were our two original flavors. Dark chocolate in the beginning was the only one. Then we came up with the white, and that overtook the dark, which surprised everybody because white chocolate's one of those ones where, since it's not really chocolate, you got a lot of the, you know, the firm people who just don't like it because sometimes it's too sweet.
Right.
But the chili added that aspect to it, took some of that sweetness off, and people liked the salted caramel, and it overtook the dark chocolate without a question very quickly. And then we've started rolling out some seasonal ones. This last fall, we had a spiced pumpkin, which worked out very well. And then we kind of tried out regionally this year a peppermint, kind of a peppermint gingerbread blend. So we had the two main flavors you see at Christmas. You know, you didn't want to go peppermint, just straight peppermint chocolate, because that's so played out. And
right.
gingerbread by itself is just pretty stale. And so we combined the two to create a very nice blend of peppermint and gingerbread and the chili all together with the dark chocolate. Was phenomenal, had very good reception. Spring, we are loading out just in time for New York. It's going to be a key lime and graham cracker white chocolate version. So
very
it's
cool.
basically going to be like a spicy key lime pie with a little bit of background of the graham cracker and the caramel. So it's a great flavor to that one.
That's cool.
And, yeah, basically they're used for anything. We first kind of start them as a drinking chocolate, and then it's like, okay, well, the way they were kind of designed after that, we definitely need to mix something with it, and so throw them straight with vodka and the rocks. I mean, my wife and I, in the beginning, it was basically the dark chocolate mixed with a little bit of brandy, and that was liquid dessert.
Right.
You sit there with some ice cubes, and you sit there and you sip it, and it's, you know, you name the liquor, and they work. I mean, from vodka to rum, you know, to bourbon and brandy, it, you know, coffees. We got coffee shops that use them. First cafe mochas with some heat. You know, we've got restaurants that use the white chocolates for, you know, coconut shrimp as dips. The uses are basically all over. You know, you make brownies with them as a nice little incorporation for a nice gooey center, or add a little bit of heat to them. Yeah, the uses are great, and they've turned, we've kind of come to a head on them with chocolate prices rising.
Yeah.
Insanely, just stupidly, honestly. And so we've kind of, we've slowed down a little bit as we've pushed forward to some other things that have taken off. We're highballing the chocolates, and we're playing it all by, you know, ear and releasing them slowly as prices subside.
Well, they go up, they go down. That's the market.
They go
itself.
Up,
I mean,
like anything
come
else.
Again.
And just as, yeah, I mean, as of late, it's just this last half of 2014. Chocolate was, I mean, it was gold as far as the pricing of it, and so it just became a very difficult thing to produce.
That's what people realize. Once certain ingredient prices can skyrocket, and you say, well, why don't you make that anymore? Well, would you spend $20 a bottle on it if I did?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it's like, I'll take your firstborn. You know, it's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, speaking of your firstborn, I met you a little boy. Oh, I think it was back in Albuquerque. I think it was when we first met. And have you turned him into a kitchen wizard yet, or is he still kind of not interested, or how's that working?
That's Trussell. He's now 4.5. I think that was at ZestFest in the first year they had it in the new in Irving.
Okay.
We were right across from each other there, yeah. And he was 6 months at the time there, or just.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was a little guy.
He was pretty fresh back then. and, you know, he definitely made his rounds at that show. Tina from Zane and Zach's was very hands-on with him. He definitely got his chili head love there. And he broke into the whole chili head thing at the North Market a few weeks later.
Okay.
Where my wife decided to give him, unknowingly, some of Johnny's Jolokia brownies. And he really didn't bat an eye. He took it like a champ.
Really?
It was more Johnny and my wife freaking out after they figured out what the heck he ingested.
he's looking at you like smiling, though. That's great.
Yeah, he took it like a champ. And has, he's definitely, you know, my kids, and then the youngest one is definitely more interested in watching. He's two, and so he's definitely more into the cooking aspect of it. Loves the watching. He's definitely an observer, as most usually second children, I guess, kind of are, I would guess. But he's definitely more of the hands-on foodie as far as wanting to do.
Okay.
They both will eat just about whatever you put in front of them, which is always great as a parent.
Of course. We are kind of running out of time here, so I'm going to have to kind of – oh, man, would you want to do a part two to this? Because, I only got through the first page of stuff here.
I'm open. I'm always, I'm game to anything.
Okay, because I think the music's going to be starting. It's got an update right here. Oh, music starts in about 15 seconds, so, and I hear it in the background now. So it's, Chad, we got a lot more to talk about, I guarantee it. And you're one of the people that everybody kind of looks up to, because you're one of the guys who's doing it right, and you got some awesome freaking products. And I want to get you back on here soon. Now, you're doing the New York show?
We are definitely doing the New York show. We will be there.
Excellent.
With bells on or something.
And
on.
Okay,
maybe
then Sunday. Well, the Sunday night of that, I turned 50 and give up smoking. So if you'd like to party with us, it's going to go way into the end of the evening.
Well, I turned 40 this year, so I might as well throw it all in that basket too. So
you might as well. Hey, it's combined, we'll give me 90. Look at that. But Chad,
there
it's great
go.
Having you on, man. We're going to definitely get you
Thank
on here before
much.
The New York show and do a part two on this.
Sounds great.
All right, Chad. Thanks again for coming, man. All right, folks, there it is. There's music. Gotta wrap it up. Stay in with-
real motherfuckers till they put us in the grave. Pistol in my pocket, now it's straight at your door. You're the
okay, let's try that again. Oh, God, this brilliant guy, oh, Frank, you're killing me. There's the music. I'd like to thank Chad Locock from Race City Softworks for joining us tonight. Oh, the ad-lib is great. I look forward to seeing him at future events down the road. He's a great guy, great personality, and we here at DEF CON Sauce is wishing him the best in the future. Check him out, racecitysauceworks.com. As a quick recap, if you know an amateur graphics designer who would like to be immortalized on a DEF CON Sauce's label, have them contact me, John, at defconsauces.com. That'll about do it, guys. This is John Dilley, president of and overlord of DEF CON Sauces. Had to throw it in there. Creators of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs. Bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at defconsauces.com. So, until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. I'm out of here.
Never see the Opry, if I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go. And some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating. A different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, three knows me and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots, we can raise hell before the speed stops for my outlaws. Give me two shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots, we can raise hell before the speed stops.
Let me get that mic one time, I'll show you how a southern boy does it. And pull another.